and turn to John 3. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 4 and hold your place there for a minute. And also, we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Well, I hope everybody's joy factor is at a very high level this week after Sunday talking about that. And I've really been my own life reaching new levels of joy with my understanding of some of the things that we talked about on Sunday. And it's just mind-blowing to me how we're commanded to rejoice, that God just wants us to rejoice, and that is the natural result of our connection with the joyful Lord. And I just love that. And so I've been testing it out this week, and isn't it amazing how many joy stealers there are out there? These things that just come and they just challenge your joy factor, and they just really come to get your head all occupied with things that really don't matter. And I just love how in Philippians 4, how it says to be anxious for nothing, and how that means we're basically not to give any care or thought to something that just has of really no value or significance, that just we're not to let anything enter into our mind that even causes us any sort of anxiousness or stress or anxiety, and then just go right into, instead of being anxious, to pray, and just pray with supplications, and I like that part, with thanksgiving, and just thank you, Lord, and just thank you for what you're doing, and Lord, you're so good and amazing, and what I like about that, it says, make your requests be known to God, but it doesn't say, well, then he'll give you all the answers to that. Just leave them there and then get back to the business of loving God. And just been thinking about that a lot. In fact, on my desk, on my those big office calendars, I've written it all out there. So I'm just thinking about it and meditating on it. And it's been really great. And I hope that you all have had not just a joyful week, but a hilarious week. Hopefully your smiles and your laughter factor is off the charts, and people are noticing this joy. But I want to talk tonight about something in regards to that, and we're going to look into 1 Kings 4 about some similar issues. But as we were singing that song, second to last song, Glory and Honor, how does that go? Be unto your name. Glory and honor be unto your name. And it just really struck me that it's so easy to have all of that be outside of us. Like, it's our worship can just be outside of us. It's like the Bible can just stay outside of us, and the songs that we sing, they can just be outside of us, and the religion that we have, it can be outside of us. And God is really bringing us in and calling us to have that all inside of us, meaning that we are to engage God. It's so easy to go through all these things without really connecting with God and engaging Him. That was the word that kept coming to my mind, is like, engage me. The Lord just engage me. Just engage me. Just have all of your being engaged with me, connected with me. And I think that's so important, that the things that we do are things that are actually causing us to engage God instead of just going through steps and just mouthing the words without really engaging God. It's so easy to do that. And I just keep thinking about how God wants us to have this incredible intimacy. You know, it's like the word worship that just keeps ringing in my head, that we're to be worshipers, and that means that the word actually means that we're to turn and kiss God. That's what the actual word worship means. And it speaks of engaging, and it speaks of intimacy. It speaks of this connection. And you know how we kind of have an understanding of that intimacy? You ever have your personal space violated? Like, do you ever talk to people and they're just getting a little too up close, and you got close talker, right? You know, close talkers. We may have some here. I'm not going to say any names. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, there's only certain people that are allowed in here. You know what I'm saying? Like right in here. Like, that's not for everybody right here, right? I mean, that's just, you know, and I know there's cultural differences, but, you know, a lot of us, if we talk to people from other cultures, they're extremely uncomfortable because they're all up in our grill, and you're like, whoa, you know, just that's not for everybody right here. But there, that's intimacy, right? There's a face-to-face connection, and you know how sometimes it's so easy to not even make eye contact with people, and just the reason we do that is because we're not engaging that person. Does it bother you when you're talking to somebody and they're not engaging you? Maybe they're texting, or I don't know, something like that. You're talking to them, they're like, yeah, whatever, and you're like, engage me. You know, we can do that. We have to be very careful that our religious exercise and our religious activities, that they don't become something to where we're not engaging God, because that's where it gets good, doesn't it? And it's this face-to-face worship. It's turning and kissing God. It's intimacy. It's connection. It's closeness, and it's engaging. Now, notice in Colossians 3, you guys there? Look at verse 4. In Colossians 3:4, it says, when Christ, who is our life. Just that part. Think about that. That's what I'm talking about. It's Christ is my life. It's when Christ is our life. He's our everything. And then notice in verse 11, the very last part of that, it says, but Christ is all and what? Christ is all and in all. And this just to me is just something that I've really been thinking about a lot this week in regards to my own relationship, and how many things am I doing there that are just like, you know, like some of us, we've been driving for a long time, you don't even need to think about it, right? But if you're just learning to drive, you know, the whole time you're, okay, are my hands right? Am I looking over my shoulder? Am I doing all this stuff? And then, you know, when you're driving for a long time, like, does anybody put their hands at 10 and 2? Like, who does that, you know? I mean, some of you, you know, you're driving and you just barely one pinky on the steering wheel. And some of you drive with your knees and you have a Coke in one hand and a fry in the other hand. And you disengage. But I really believe tonight that God he's calling us back to engagement, to worship. He's seeking those to worship Him. He's not interested in people just mouthing words and doing religious things. He's looking for us. He's looking for our hearts. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 20. It says, "For you were bought with a price." So here, now think about this. Don't engage this. That God, He bought us with a price. So let me ask you this question then. And we know the price that He paid to buy us, correct? We're going to celebrate that tonight with communion. He bought us with a price by sacrificing His whole life for us. So how important is fellowship and intimacy and connection, engaging God? How important is that to Him? That He was willing to buy us with the price, which was the sacrifice of His whole self. I mean, to me, that expresses extreme value that He places on us personally, and extreme value that He places on our intimacy and connection with Him, that we would engage Him. I mean, and you think about that, you think that's why Christ died for us, not so we can be more religious people. He died for us so He would bring us back into His bosom, so He would bring us back into fellowship. He would bring us back into that engagement, that loving connection, that He was willing to do that, that He was willing to pay that price. To me, that speaks of such value that He places on that relational aspect. So He says, "You were bought with a price." So naturally, what flows from that, notice it says, "Therefore glorify God in what?" Now, that's interesting, isn't it? You were bought with a price. I value you. I desire intimacy. Now, the response to that understanding, to know how much God values us, our response is that we would glorify, and I think that's interesting, that we would glorify Him in our body. And of course, the context here is talking about sexual immorality. But that we would actually glorify God in our bodies, because He's bought us with a price. And if you think about it, the reason He's saying to glorify God in our bodies is because when we use our bodies for the wrong things or for selfish, self-seeking things, then what happens is the connection with God that should be so deep gets severed, or better yet, it gets hurt, it's injured. And to me, that also speaks of the level of intimacy that God desires. The level that He says, "I desire this intimacy with you so much that please don't use your body to seek that out in a way where it's going to damage what I want to give to you." It's that the satisfaction and the fulfillment in the Spirit that comes from intimacy. So He says, glorify God in your body, and then what? In your spirit. So glorify God in your body, and then your spirit. It's like your whole being now is coming into the whole fellowship of God. That's pretty good stuff, right? I mean, isn't that just, to me, it's just, I don't know how we've gotten from this to this outside religion. This religion that It doesn't glorify God in our lives and our whole being, but it's a religion that separates glorifying God and worship and fellowship. It separates that, and it's a self-seeking, self-centered, man-centered. And God says that all that's doing is hurting the reason I died for you. It's hurting that. It's injuring that. Just like in a human relationship, we know if somebody strays out of the confines of a human relationship, it hurts the relationship. If somebody's dishonest or lying or whatever, it hurts the relationship. This is the same thing that God's saying. So it's not like God is saying, well, glorify me in your body just and in your spirit just because I don't want you to have fun and enjoy your life. It's saying that ruins the real fun and the real life and the real reason that I died for you and the most important thing for all of our lives. So you may be saying with that, okay, well, what do I do? What do I do with that? Hopefully we can see how jealous God is for us. That sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Well, that's what the Bible says. He's jealous for us. Isn't that kind of weird? God, because he longs for that intimacy and that fellowship. So, as we understand these truths, notice in verse 9, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is outside of you?" Right? I know, I've seen if you're paying attention. You guys look like you're about to shoot me. Do you see that? I was saying that so you'd pick up that no. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is what? In you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Okay, so now this is taking it to a whole nother level, guys. The Old Testament was all about the temple, wasn't it? Because this would be a place, that it would be the Holy of Holies, a place that people couldn't go in. It was restricted. Because the glory of God was so intense, so powerful that people, you would just die if you went in there. But the high priest, if he followed all these rules very specifically, if he would sacrifice an animal and go and bring the blood of that animal into the Holy of Holies, if he would do that according to these standards, he would be able to go in one time a year. You go into the place where the glory of the Lord is. But we are told that is a picture of our bodies. The temple is an explanation of our bodies, that the glory of the Lord, to whoever's a believer in Jesus Christ, the actual glory of the Lord is not something outside of us anymore, not something that we're barred from, not something that we have to go through all these ceremonies for. It's inside of us. And that's why I'm saying it's so important that this worship of God, this fellowship of God, that it's inside of us, that we're connecting with God, engaging Him in the Spirit. We need to be very careful. So now, okay, I think we're ready. If you will turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 4. So I really think that I will just hope that tonight that's what we're thinking about. We're thinking about the connection and not allowing that to be outside of us, but this is something where we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now notice, in chapter 4 of 1 Kings, it's basically now Solomon who has taken over for King David. Now King Solomon's in place, and he's setting up his cabinet. He's setting up the people that are going to help him run the nation of Israel. So in verse 1, Solomon, the king over all Israel. And then it says, and these were his officials. And then it goes on and lists his officials and those who had certain responsibilities and those who are responsible for certain specific things. Now notice in verse 20, it says, Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea, in multitude, eating and drinking, and what? There it is. This word, it's amazing. So, now, what allowed the children of Israel to get to this point? In verse 21, it says, Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms. And it talks about how big his reign was. And in verse 22, Solomon's provisions for one day was 30 cores, which a core is like 55 gallons. This is one day in the life of Solomon. 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen. Those are the ones that they weren't allowed to move around. They just kept eating and eating and eating, and they just stayed sedentary or motionless. This is like for you marbled steak people, you know, the fat marbled in. This is the fatted fowl. So, fatted oxen. And it says 20 oxen from the pastures, 100 sheep besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river. And then in verse 25 it says, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Now this is a day, one day in the life of Solomon. All of these animals, the feasting, the peace, every man just relaxing under his own vine. Now, how did they get there? Solomon had nothing to do with them getting there. But look in chapter 5 and look at verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3 says, For now my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord, because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me. You might want to circle that, given. This is Solomon saying, the Lord has now given me what? Rest. You see that? Where did he give him rest? On every side. He said, there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And he said, and behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name. So Solomon was the one that was sort of the beneficiary of David's work. David was a man of war. He could not build the house of God because he was a man of war. He was a man that prepared the way through blood and sacrifice, prepared the way for the peace, prosperity, and perseverance of Solomon. And now we find in our own lives that for those who are the whosoevers, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but have eternal life, it's not just about going to heaven, which is fantastic and could be enough. That really could be. It's not just that. But may I say that it is then that the celebration begins. We are like Solomon. Jesus has paid the price. He's conquered the enemies so that there are no more foes or adversaries around us. We have peace. We have security. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the removal of the barrier which separated man from fellowship with God. And now the only thing left is to celebrate. Because as we saw earlier, that Jesus paid it all. It's all paid. So now, as Solomon is doing, and this is the key. This is the key to enjoying God. Solomon is building a house for the Lord. And so in the same way, we have to understand and see our lives now as lives that are building the house of the Lord. That our lives are lived in such a way where our lives are building in whatever we're doing and wherever we are, we're building fellowship. Our bodies are the temple, right? And the Holy Spirit, God lives inside of us. So whatever we are doing, that we should be building fellowship, worship, communion with the Lord. And this is when life really begins to get good. That now we rejoice because the Lord is at hand in our house of worship. It's wherever we are. This morning, it's a great morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm on a football field watching over 100 young men bash each other around, and I just thought, this is awesome. This could be their house of the Lord right here. They can use whatever God has given them to glorify the Lord. And I just thought, what a neat picture that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, that we give it unto the Lord. And we're always building worship. And so we have to ask ourselves, be really honest with ourselves, that are we building worship, communion and fellowship into whatever we're doing? Is our life one where we build in communion and fellowship with God? And when we begin to understand that, now we know what it means, where God says that He's seeking those to worship Him. Now I'm going to just ask Mike to come up. We're going to have a time where we can actually engage God. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity to just take in what we said and say, you know, maybe some of us would say, you know, I haven't done that. I've just been kind of doing my own thing. I've been disengaged. I've been on cruise control. I've been complacent, lethargic, or whatever. Hey, Mike. And just say, you know, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. And I see in Scripture that my life can take on a dynamic that allows me to celebrate my life because I'm celebrating Jesus Christ. As we take communion tonight, I hope and pray that this will be a real time for us to connect with God. What we're going to do is we're going to have the ushers just come around, pass out the communion elements. Hang on to it. We want to take it together. We're going to have a time where we'll just open things up a little bit and give you an opportunity just to share a praise report, share a testimony, share a thanks to God for something He's doing. Maybe you just want to share that, hey, you know, I've been faking it. I've been going through the motions. Haven't been honest. Maybe you just want to confess that. Maybe God's giving you a word of knowledge. Maybe He's giving you a vision. Maybe He's putting something on your heart. At this time, I just want us all to be very open and receptive to what the Holy Spirit may do in this time. And when we do have, we're going to have a time where we can just be open with one another. I do ask that you keep it short. We don't have all night. We have to just keep it short and to the point. But I also ask that you wouldn't be restrictive. God, He really wants us to just really be open and just to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, just as if we were just a garden hose, and the water would just come out of that hose with no interference, no kinks in the hose, that we would be vessels and channels of the Holy Spirit working through our lives. And so we're going to have a little time with that, but let this time just simply be a time of worship. Right now, if we can kill the lights there, one of the light, the other light, hopefully that's okay for you. Zach's going to lead us in worship. And you know what, guys, right now, this is just a time just for you and God. This is a special time. Nothing matters right now. This is a time for you to worship God inwardly, not outwardly. This is a time to engage Him, to connect. Maybe you want to start off by, if you have sins, if you just want to confess them to Him and just say, Lord, I've blown it. I'm sorry, Lord. I've messed up and I keep doing this and I just hate it. I'm sorry, Lord. Maybe this is a time that we need to just get real with the Lord and just say, you know, Lord, it's just been hard. And I've been getting so caught up in my life and busyness that, Lord, I want to bring things back. I want to return to my first love. Let's worship the Lord. Go ahead, guys. You can pass it out.
source of life. I can't be left behind, 'cause no one else will do. I will take hold of you, 'cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace, I will follow you. This world has nothing for me, I will follow you. This world has nothing for me, I will follow you. This world has nothing for me, I will follow you. This world has Jesus, to come to my rescue. Oh, tell me, where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace, I will
Heavenly Father, we are here to worship you, God. We are here because you are an amazing God, Lord. And Father, if we're honest, the world is just such a drag, Lord. It's I don't know why we just keep thinking that the world has something for us, Lord, but thank you that you have saved us from the world. You have given us true love, true satisfaction, Lord. It's so great to be satisfied. You've given us true joy, Lord, that springs from our heart, that's uncontainable, Lord Jesus. You've done that, Lord, and you paid the price, Lord. And as we hold these elements, Lord, we're here to remember the price that you did pay so that we could have that, Lord, in your spirit. As we hold this wafer, this cracker, we see how there are holes on it and stripes in it, Lord. And it reminds us of the beating that you took, the piercing of your side. It was a heavy price you paid, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord. We all do. We thank you, Lord. And we know is the world and the trappings of the world that that caused us, Lord, to be separated from you, the sin that entered into this world. And Lord, I just want to pray for anybody here who just hasn't got to a place where they have just realized that life is you, Lord. Living is you. In you is life, and that more abundantly, Lord. I pray for anybody that just is struggling with the world and the world and all the temptations and the people that just tell us the world has all these wonderful great things for us. And Lord, just save us from that. You've told us that we can't love you and the world at the same time. And as we look at your cross, we get an idea of what the world is all about, Lord. It's the world that put you on the cross and crucified you, Lord. And so, God, we just want to repent. We want to say, Lord, we're sorry. And Lord, we just want you, and we see your sacrifice. We see what you went through. We see what you did for us. We see that you gave it all for us. And Lord, help us to understand that we've been bought with a price, and the price was so valuable, Lord. You love us so much. Let us remember that as we partake of your bread tonight. Let's partake of the bread. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we can't forget that you just didn't leave anything back, Lord. The price wasn't just your body, but the price that you had to pay was your blood that was completely spilled out. The life that was in the blood, your life was completely 100% poured out, Lord. And that was the price we needed to have life. And so, Lord, as we partake of this cup, let us remember we're taking in your life, Lord. We're remembering that this relationship is not anything that's outside of us, but it's actually part of us, Lord. It's becoming our faith. The hope and the glory is our faith in you, Lord. It's our trust in you. And it's you making us brand new because of your work on the cross. And Lord, this cup reminds us, Lord, that your life was poured out 100% completely so that we could have life 100% and completely. So Lord, as we take of this cup, we want to just say and admit that we are exchanging our life for your life. Lord, we are giving you our life, and we want your life in exchange, Lord. Let's partake of the cup together. Oh, thank you, Lord. And Lord, in this time, I just sense that your Holy Spirit is just so alive, so present, so strong and powerful, Lord. And I love how your Holy Spirit is inside these temples, our bodies. And Lord, I just want to pray now that your Holy Spirit would minister to the body through the members of the body, Lord. Just do a work here. Encourage, restore, bless, build up, and strengthen. Give us exactly what we need, Lord. And so we're just going to open it up in this time and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through each one of you. And please, again, keep it short if you can. Amen. It's a good word.
I pray that as we go through everyday life, that we celebrate in Jesus Christ's
Amen.
Grace and love.
Yes, Lord.
And we celebrate in Jesus Christ's grace and love every day.
Amen.
You're free and true happiness.
Yes, Lord.